Our scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. As we hear the story every year, I imagine it is a familiar passage, unless you play hooky every Palm Sunday. Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, 'Behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." Here ends our reading. May we be blessed with understanding. Would you please join me in prayer? Holy and loving God, pray this morning that your word might speak both through me and in spite of me. In Jesus' name, amen. Like so many great stories throughout history, our scripture reading today begins with a donkey. Not just one donkey, in fact, but two donkeys, a mother donkey and a baby donkey. Now, you might not have known this, but donkeys were the Honda Accords of Jesus' day. Practically everyone had one. They were considered a basic economic necessity. They were used as transportation. They were used for carrying heavy loads. And they were used for agricultural work. The number of donkeys a person owned was even used as an indicator of a person's wealth. Donald Trump, he's at least a 1,000 donkey kind of guy. Simply put, donkeys were a big, big deal to first century Palestinians. And because donkeys were such a big deal to a first century Palestinian, I can't help but feel that Matthew is leaving out some major details as he shares a story of how Jesus came into possession of those two donkeys that so illustriously began today's scripture reading. As Matthew depicts the scene, Jesus simply tells the disciples, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." Now I want you to imagine something with me for just one moment. You can close your eyes if you wish. Picture this. It's a Sunday morning in early June. It's that one week at the beginning of a Boston summer when the temperature is perfect, not too hot yet, not too humid, just nice. And you're sitting at your dining room table and you can feel the warmth of the morning sun on your skin as it shines through your window. You made the coffee just right this morning. And you're slowly feeling energized as the caffeine is making its way through your system. A bowl of your favorite cereal sitting in front of you, Raisin Bran, Cheerios, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, whatever you're into. What a day it is to be alive. But then you hear a sound in your driveway, and you run out your front door to see what's going on. You round the corner into your driveway, and what do you see but two rather unkempt men climbing into your Honda Accord? you of course scream at them, "What do you think you're doing?" They look your way, and without so much as blinking, they respond, "Don't worry, the Lord needs it." "Oh," you say, and turn around and walk back into your house to finish breakfast. And so ends our imaginative exercise. Now, while looking out at all of you, I see a lot of friendly, faithful, and charitable faces. I suspect that the situation I described would probably play out a little bit differently if it actually happened to one of us. As the two guys tried to commandeer our vehicle, saying that it was for the Lord, we would likely raise an eyebrow at them, if not a can of mace. So in his narration of how Jesus came about the two donkeys that he rides into Jerusalem, it seems that Matthew gives short shrift to what in actuality is a very, very big deal. Jesus makes a very big ask of the owner of these donkeys. The owner is being asked to make what amounts to an enormous economic sacrifice. If the owner was not a person of means, he might very well be sacrificing his livelihood. We're not told if the owner needed to be persuaded or cajoled into his decision. We are not told if the owner was promised to have his donkeys returned to him. We're not told if the owner even knew who Jesus was before the disciples showed up on that fateful Sunday morning. Matthew only tells us the outcome. The owner allowed the disciples to lead his donkeys away. So just to put it in another way, the events of Holy Week all begin, they are all predicated on Jesus asking a person to give something of himself. Not just a little something, a very big something. And the person responds not with incredulity, not with an excuse as to why he can't, but he responds instead with a brave and a faithful yes. And this yes marks the beginning of Jesus' journey into Jerusalem and ultimately to the cross. Now, for the past 25 years, every Tuesday night there has been a free community meal at First Parish Church in Harvard Square. The program serves an average of 120 men each week. The guests who come to this meal program come from a wide variety of circumstances. We estimate that about 40% of the folks there are people who are actually homeless. So they're living out on the street, or they're staying at one of the shelters available to them in either Boston or in Cambridge. But then the other 60% of the folks who come to this meal are people who are simply living on fixed incomes, and they come to the meal as just a way of making their little bit of money go a little bit further. Now, what keeps this community meal running each week is the energy and effort and love of the 30 or so volunteers that show up every week and just make it happen. Like the guests of the meal program, these volunteers also come from a wide variety of backgrounds and circumstances. We have students, retirees, ex-priests, computer programmers, house cleaners, teachers, etc., etc. Now, a few of these volunteers come to the program with a lot of community service experience already under their belt. But for the vast majority, it is their very first experience volunteering at anything, and is most certainly their very first time interacting with homeless people. Now, on a volunteer's very first day, they are asked to get to the church early to go through a bit of a brief orientation to the program. At these orientations, it is very easy to tell if someone has never done this kind of work before. Although they don't say anything, they just carry this nervous energy around with them. You can read it from a mile away. Now, although they're eager to help, they just simply don't know what will be expected of them or what will be asked of them. So I think rightfully they're a little bit on edge. At these orientations, they're given brief explanations of how the meal will be served and what their specific job for the evening will be. They're also read a litany of five simple what we call health and safety guidelines. Number one, and Kathleen, you'll appreciate this, wash your hands before dinner service. Number two, if at any point during dinner service your hands get dirty, be it from picking something off the floor or picking your nose, please wash your hands again. Number three, please stay out of the kitchen unless you are assigned to be in there. We would hate for you to get scalded and disfigured. Number four, if a fight breaks out, don't intervene in it yourself. And finally, number five, under no circumstances should you offer a guest financial, housing, or transportation assistance. Now, after this fifth and final rule has been recited, a look of relief will, without fail, spread across the face of that new volunteer. While they kind of sort of knew what they were getting themselves into in signing up for this experience, there were still a lot of unknowns. What are these homeless people going to ask of me? How much of myself am I obligated to give? Won't I look like a jerk if I say no to someone? But then all of a sudden, with just one sentence spoken to them by the volunteer coordinator, a nice, neat line was drawn between what they could give and what they couldn't give. A fence was constructed in their heart in an instant. And what's more, they didn't have to do it for themselves. Someone built that fence for them. What a relief. Drawing neat lines in the sand like this gives volunteers a level of comfort and ease that makes their service at the meals program more enjoyable and keeps them coming back. But the plain truth of the matter is that the last slide guideline we give them, the number five, not to offer any financial, transportation, or housing assistance, is completely 100% arbitrary. It was decided by a committee who thought it sounded like a reasonable enough rule to have. And the truth is that there is nothing really anyone could or would want to do to stop a volunteer from offering a guest money, a place to stay, or ride somewhere if the volunteer really wanted to. But here's a thing about the lines that we draw in our hearts. When a person believes that a line exists between what they can give and what they can't give, that line becomes a real thing. A thing that begins to determine who and how they are in the world. As we enter into this Holy Week, a week that begins with donkeys and their owner's decision to say yes to enormous sacrifice, I invite you to consider, for lack of a more eloquent phrasing, what is your donkey? What is that thing in your life that Jesus is calling you to offer up? Is it your time? Is it your energy? Is it your resources? And are you willing to give that thing? Or have you drawn a line in your heart that prevents it? There are no easy answers in Holy Week. Just the example of a donkey owner and of a God willing to give all that we might know what real love is. May we have the courage and the faith we need to redraw the lines in our hearts and give God what God asks of us. Amen.